convene the public hearing for Wednesday, June 9th, Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee for House Bill 3190 relating to explosives. I know I've got some folks that traveled probably a fairly significant distance to be here, and you can come up in singularly or all at once, Dick Daniels, Jerry Wallace, and Terry or Tari?
Terry.
Now, I guess it's in the classes, I can reckon. I'm really going to do better this. Glow car? Hey, well, okay. I'm doing pretty good. Anyway, let me invite anyone or all of you to come up to the microphone. We've got a couple of procedures with the microphone. A, don't touch it. And B,
don't touch it.
Don't touch it. And C, before you start to say your piece, identify yourself for the record. So whoever wants to go first is more than welcome.
All right, I'll take first. Thank you. My name is Jerry Wallace. I am a blasting contractor. I operate in states in addition to Oregon. I would like to thank you, Representative Westland, members of your staff and committee, for allowing this public testimony. I am one of the members of the Explosives Advisory Committee group that has been working on this legislation. This is now the third term that we've been working to try to craft this legislation where it's acceptable to all members of the industry and the community that may be impacted by it. I strongly support this legislation. It has three critical issues I feel that argue for its passing. The first is public safety. The second is public and emergency responder safety. And the third has to do with just help to the industry in general. Oregon law, as it exists, was written in response to the Omnibus Crime Bill of the first Nixon administration, and it hasn't been upgraded significantly since. The major loophole that we at the industry see is that in Oregon there are no qualification skills and no knowledge skills required to receive a license to possess explosives. The knowledge mostly that is lacking is knowledge that there are federal laws with regards to transportation and storage that apply even if you're using it intra-state. Additionally, there are no intra-state mechanisms to inspect the explosive storage magazines of anyone that isn't licensed interstate. And we have worked to provide that type of requirements that you be required at least to know that there are federal laws that apply to transportation and storage, and therefore you're more likely to comply if you know they exist. They're not onerous. However, they are accessible, and one of the points that we have in the law that we have drafted is that if you store explosives, you notify the local fire agency so that if there is a fire at the structure that has the explosives in it, they know not to come fight it and endanger the health of their safety. Secondly, it covers knowledge of transportation, especially since 1995 when the new transportation laws went into effect. The federal law requires placarding of vehicles, it requires a commercial driver's license, and it requires a route plan and a way bill and several other things so that if the emergency people come upon an accident on the highway or something else, they're aware that there are explosives in the vehicle. Currently in the state of Oregon, you're not required to know that this federal law exists in order to get a permission to possess explosives. And thirdly, what we're looking at doing is having it so that the state fire marshal's office, a representative, can go to make and inspect the magazines in intrastate if you are storing. Currently, there are several hundred people that indicate they're storing explosives in the state, and there is no intrastate inspection. There is inspection from the federal level of interstate. So that, we think we've addressed the concerns of other people. It's a self-supporting bill. Those that have magazines will pay the cost of the inspection so that it won't be on the back of the taxpayers. The costs associated with this bill are in line with costs in other states where it operates, and I urge your support. Thank you for your time.
Great. Gary?
Yeah.
Excellent testimony. Any questions for our witness? Who's next on the docket? Oh, hold on. Representative Patridge.
I'm trying to work through this bill. Why are you using safety fuses, detonating cord, igniter cords, igniters, and all those items? I know that there's various forms they can come in. And so,
the wording, why? I think those are there to be included in terms of explosives so that we understand some things are classified as explosives, some things are classified as fireworks, and fireworks are covered under a different section of law and are excluded, are outside this bill. The safety fuse is still used in the industry rarely. It's becoming rapidly obsolete, but it is used in avalanche control, safety fuse in caps, igniter cord, you know, a few of the other things are used rarely, but it's still things that are covered.
I think it's illegal.
Yeah, I don't know how much farther beyond that. There may be language adopted from some of the federal.
I was wondering why we're including those things. I don't know if they're regulated. Typically, those.
Representative Parsons,
for the record.
The committee. I'm sorry. I'm Terry Glocker from State Fire Marshal's Office. The definition of the explosives has been changed very little from the original definition, and it's consistent with the federal and national definition of explosives. Those are in all the national standards and federal standards, almost word for word.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kims.
I just like Rob. I'm trying to read this and figure out what I'm going. Now, I know the fire marshal's office, but he regulates that you're talking basically about storage in magazines, the storage of explosives that need to be registered now and to this bill that are not currently registered. Tell me what we're doing beyond what we already do, and maybe you said that, and I apologize if you did, but I'd rather the fire marshal's office.
Representative Westburn, Senator Kims, and members of the committee. Currently in Oregon, for $15, signing your name, being age 21, and having a lack of certain types of criminal history, you can get a permit or a certificate, as we call it, to possess explosives in the state of Oregon. With that possession comes no other requirements. They don't have to tell us where their explosives are. They don't have to tell us where they store. We don't have any knowledge of where these locations are other than those folks who voluntarily tell us that they are storing in a given location. So for first responder safety and for inspection to assure that these, however many people are telling us they are storing somewhere, are storing appropriately and consistently with the fire code and the federal and national standards, we need to have some mechanism to get to that, and we're not able to.
That makes sense. You know, seems like we're trying to do a lot of things with guns. What about explosives?
Sure. Won't make that gun issue. I'm afraid you were going to go.
May I have something?
You can't have it. So, additional clarification. So I'm 21, have a reasonably clean criminal history, I mean, with that exception of 7 years, so I can just trundle off to my local hardware store or wherever they sell explosives, point down to $15, and here's the question. Buy any quantity of explosives.
Are you limited under current law to quantity?
Representative West and members of the committee, no, you are not limited to quantity.
That's what I really wanted to know. Terry, you were about ready to say something. Or Jerry, excuse me.
Yes, thank you, Representative West. There are federal standards for storage for that.
Keep going.
That apply statewide. And you can have federal licensing as well, which I have to have since I operate for the state. So I am automatically inspected annually by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which inspects magazines of federal license holders. However, there is no intrastate program of inspection in this state, whereas our neighboring state, the North State of Washington, has an inspection program. So if you're not federally licensed only in Oregon, there is no group that comes around and inspects your magazine unless they receive a complaint or a concern, or as happened in Oregon here a few years ago when found explosives was being sold around one of the local schools. The feds then forward traced. They went to the supplier and asked to whom they'd sold and tried to trace where this explosive had come from, and found that several of the people had magazines that didn't comply with federal standards. So we simply have nothing in the state of Oregon that allows intrastate magazines to be inspected. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. This is for the State Fire Marshal's office. Who are the members of the Explosive Advisory Group? That's the group that requested the bill.
Senator Kim and Senator Gordon, members of the committee, if you look in the document that is in front of you that's got some testimony in it, there's a listing there of all of the entities that have been involved in the development of this bill.
Is Oregon State Police on that list?
Yes.
Thank you.
Also, U.S. Forest Service, Sheriff's Association, Salem Police Department, several fire departments, Consumer Product Safety Commission, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, OSHA, Forestry, International Society of Explosives Engineers, Oregon Farm Bureau, Association of Oregon Loggers, Oregonians for Food and Shelter, several fertilizer companies, as well as, of course, our office, and some independent folks like the individuals that are sitting here at the table today, as well as numerous other members of the explosives industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, sir?
Mr. Schrader. Thanks, sir. I'm sorry, I apologize for being late. We had some problems in the health floor today. Does this apply to... Would this apply to like fireworks dealers and that sort of thing, or fireworks manufacturers anyway?
No. Representative, it's members of the committee. It does not apply in any way to fireworks. It's strictly limited to Class A explosives.
Okay.
And Class A is?
Is dynamite, you know, death cord.
Wow. You do not need a license. I can go store all that dynamite I want in my garage, and I don't have to have that permit or anything to do that. I could blow up birds.
Right now, there is no check and balance for that. Taking it from the dealer, the wholesaler, and taking it to wherever you take it. And that's primarily what this bill addresses, is that check and balance system for public and first responder safety.
And brought to us at the request of the Explosives Advisory Group, which would be made up of all the individuals that deal with explosives, which was the one you read through there.
Representative Patrick.
I've got a couple concerns. In regards to this, what about, I'm just concerned about the change in definition, even though you say it's what the federal system is and how things would fall underneath this. I'm concerned about, predominantly about the safety uses that name for guided coordinating writers. I have a couple questions in regards to possession and the keeping of those. What happens with, in regards to, what happens in regards to issues like the science classes who have the rockets with the igniter cords and that I don't know if you call that a detonator or whatever. But those seem like they would fall underneath this, you know, the hobbyist kind of people that would press the button and let the rocket go off, and you did it in high school science, or individuals like, I know individuals for the 4th of July who I believe it's an igniter cord. They have can, you know, they have a cannon and they shoot it off for the 4th of July. Wouldn't those things fall underneath this? Because the definition is so broad, I'm concerned. I guess I'm concerned about the hobbyist or the person who has a cannon on the 4th of July or some of those kinds of things. What kind of requirements is that going to make them do, and what's the fire marshal going to require them to do?
Representative Weston, Representative Passage, and members of the committee, this does not extend to fireworks or model rocketry in any way. Model rocketry is currently exempt from any permitting requirements from the State Fire Marshal's Office, and we do not anticipate in any way changing that exemption. The model rockets are things that are sold throughout the state from hobby shops. The igniter cord and the safety fuses that you're talking about, detonating cords, those are routinely sold as a part of the public fireworks display package that goes to whatever person has applied for that public display. And those are all purchased under a permit that's issued to those individuals to have that type of product. So they're not required to come in and get an explosives certificate on top of getting a public fireworks display permit.
I guess I don't have it off. This is such a detailed bill. I haven't really had that opportunity. So I guess can you point me to where the exemption is from the storage of those kinds of things? What if I go buy 10 model rocket things because I'm going to go out? What kind of, how do I have to store those things? You know, what do I have to do? It says explosive, and then it talks about storage and all those things. But I guess it's, maybe I'm missing the point totally on this thing. Maybe I'm not connecting, but I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this based upon the definition, because the definition previously was pretty specific in regards to chemical compounds, instantaneous release of gas and heat, dynamite, glass and cast nitroglycerin, nitrogel, and excluding firearms. But I don't see an exemption here for, you know, hobbyists or anything else. And I don't see a definite an exemption in here for people who would, you know, do a birthday or 4th of July and shoot something off with an igniter cord. And that, I guess that's my concern about how this works. I don't see any kind of exemption.
Representative Westland, Representative Passeridge, and members of the committee, the requirement for a permit for a public fireworks display is included in the ORSs in Chapter 480, and that specifically allows that person with that permit, in order to do that type of display, they have to use a type of cord. I don't know if you call it a detonating cord, but that's the type of product with the aerial shells that are set off at the 4th of July. It's a piece of...
Excuse me, just to clarify, I'm not talking about someone who puts on a big fireworks display. I'm talking about, you know, someone who has, there's hobbyists around who have cannons and things, and they shoot them off for, they're like black powder kinds of cannons that you stick an igniter, stuff in, and you touch it off, and you make big noise. And
black
and
powder
whatever.
Is specifically exempted under state statute.
But the igniter cord, but my point is the igniter cord and the detonators for those hobbyists and the people who may light off cans or other types of devices aren't, I don't see them being exempted under this bill, and I'm trying to ask you where the exemption would be. I don't want someone who shoots off a cannon on their kid's birthday and on the 4th of July because they haven't stored it in an explosive magazine to fall under the purview of this, and I don't feel like... I'm trying to get some clarity on that, I guess.
And to clarify that a little further, if in fact it is a regulated product, and I believe that it is, only with a specific type of permit or storage that you can have that product. This language here is consistent with Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and with nationally recognized standards for explosives. So we couldn't write in an exemption that says that the canonist or the cannoneer could go and have a product that's federally regulated and allow them to have that exemption. We can't do that. So if in fact, and I believe that under the explosives law, that wood, a detonating cord, is a very, very powerful tool, I don't believe that we could write an exemption into this law that would exempt them from federal law.
Representative Provansky.
Mr. Chair, if I can try to help. My understanding is that what we have here in this bill conforms and complies with what the national standard is. And if you currently are using or storing those products under federal law or under the national standards, you have certain obligations or powers that will be done. This bill itself does not put any new or additional standards into the typical reporting structure, so the local fire agency and the state fire marshal's office will know where this material is being stored and can check some equipment properly stored. And people who are storing it or transporting it have certain basic education level and knowledge of what is proper and what is not. This in no way impacts anyone who currently has those materials because it mirrors what is on the national standard. We just don't intrastate have the ability to track or trace or to inspect those type of operations without having this piece of legislation in place.
That is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My concern is, though, is I think that those things are probably exempted under the federal law, but I don't think that there's obvious requirements and everything else under the federal law, and I can't be sure based on looking at this that all the exemptions under federal law for the hobbyist, for the other people, are also included in this bill. Maybe you can tell me that they are. I don't know, but I don't see any exemption, and it concerns me in regards to the hobbyist and those kinds of people. I just don't want to catch people in the net that we didn't intend to catch. Or create some onus on people that they think they're doing something illegal when all they're trying to do is, you know, shoot off rockets with their kids, so they buy some igniter cords and some batteries, and they want to shoot off rockets with their kids and paint them and do those kinds of things, or the local high school puts on shows. I just need some comfort level there. If you can tell me where the exemptions are for those things, but as it's written now, you're casting a really wide net.
Representative Westland, Representative Taxes, members of the committee, what I can tell you is a hobbyist today or a cannoneer today cannot buy any of the products that are on this list unless they are federally allowed to do that. This definition came out of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms manual that they have. So we know that this definition is consistent with federal and national standards. So it's not in any way designed to impose any other further standards on cannoneers or hobbyists that are setting off model rockets. We routinely get those kind of calls in our office about model rockets, and our response to those folks is those are not regulated through this agency. So we don't regulate them. And if they're doing that now and they're not regulated, they would not be regulated in the future.
I don't mean to debate the issue, but you're changing the definition. So you had no way of regulating those things before. And what I need to know is what the federal exemptions are that allow these things to be used by hobbyists. Because while we're changing the definition and we're in compliance with the federal law, it doesn't mean we've taken all the federal exemptions underneath this. And that's what I'm concerned about. And I guess, you know, maybe I need to call the DAGF, but I'm not comfortable with the bill unless I can have some kind of assurances about why this, you know, how these hobbyists and other people are not going to fall underneath the bill, because in my plain reading of the bill, and as someone who's a prosecutor and worked with the state fire marshal's office, I would say that those things would fall under definition of the bill as I read it. And so that's a concern, that's a substantial concern of mine, I guess. And, you know, I'd be happy to work with it, but I feel like the definition, my problem isn't the definition, it's the exemption. It's the exemption piece and how that works in compliance with federal law.
Representing Weston, Western Parkers, members of the committee, I'd like to defer to either Jerry Wallace or Dick Daniel for whether or not under the current certificates they are possessing, when they go to their dealer, if whether or not they are required, they want to purchase detonating cord, to have a certificate of possession or a federal license in order to do that. I think that could probably clear up some of the questions about this issue.
Yes, go ahead, Jerry. Thank you, Representative Weston, Representative Patrick. If I may, definition, detonating cord is a controlled substance by ATF. It is not something that's currently allowed to be bought by hobbyists. It is as PETN, which is an explosive that is controlled. Your detonated, your fuse is not controlled. What are controlled are the blasting caps. And ATF has what they call their Orange Book. There's recently I guess in considerable more detail. And in the law, we have referenced several times ATF, but not specifically with regards to fireworks. Most of the things we're talking about fall under this fireworks exemption. I see nothing here that I've bought commercially that would also be a hobbyist. Hobbyists do not go to explosive suppliers to buy their squibs or other things. Those usually come from hobby shops. And we our intent was, and we've worked through it before, and we hope that we've covered the bases here, that we're exempting fireworks. We want to deal with the commercial explosives industry and make sure that people unqualified at least know they have to comply with certain rules and regulations when they do buy explosives. The fireworks and things are totally outside the intent of this law as we've had written.
Senator Gordley is up next. We've got a
Thank you.
Whole list of contributors here. Question.
Question, comment. Ms. Glocker, looking at your bill analysis format, and thank you for the way that you've stated the intent of the bill. It's very clear to me looking at this information. A part of the focus is on public safety. As you say here, we want to make sure that we know where explosives are stored so that then police personnel and fire personnel have to go out on some emergency. They know what they might expect on the other end of that emergency. My question is that we also have some information here on a legislative fiscal statement that says the 566 explosive magazines, that's the place where the explosives are stored, have been voluntarily reported. Over what period of time did that reporting take place? And then the other part of my question is, because I don't know anything about the world of explosives, what are we using explosives for out there?
Okay. Representing Western, Senator Gordley, members of the committee. Explosives are used for as many applications as cracking rock, rock quarries, blasting the top side of trees, blasting stumps, clearing property, just all kinds of things, developing river channels, there's all kinds of uses, whatever, imploding buildings, there's all sorts of ways that explosives can be used.
And also the 566 magazines, do they fit that category that you're just describing?
They can. What we don't know in our agency is we have a place on our form where we ask people to voluntarily tell us if they're storing. Some people do, some people don't. Out of 1,290 people, 566 in the current database, and the database is runs on a three-year cycle because the certificate of valid for 3 years. So we have that many who have said we store it somewhere. They haven't necessarily all told us where they store. Some people give us an address. Some people give us a township and a range. Some people say, well, I store on my property at thus and so an address. But knowing that we have that many people out there who are storing, we still have no mechanism to know, are they really storing, and are they really storing in accordance with the adopted standards for magazine requirements. And the other issue is, do they store the appropriate distance from inhabited buildings, including their own homes and their own businesses? That's the piece that we don't know.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair, would the 566 folks who now have these magazines, would they have to submit to the new application and examination that this bill requires, or are we just going to start from scratch and everyone else who applies in the future? You know, that becomes your...
Representing Weston, Senator Gordley, and members of the committee. The way that we have proposed to implement the bill is anyone who is currently holding a certificate, when that certificate runs out, then at that point they would need to comply with the new requirement, obviously with giving people advance notice that there's been a change to give them an opportunity to prepare to meet those changes. But we can't go out now when we have so many people already licensed and do everybody from this point forward. We have to let a natural expiration occur.
And the life of the certificate is?
3 years.
Thank you.
Senator Hanna.
This bill, when you talk about magazines, the magazines that you're discussing are the detonators or the powder?
Representing Weston, Senator Hanna, and members of the committee. I'm not an explosives expert, but I believe, and I might defer to Sherry on that, but I believe that they are both, and they are stored separately.
Okay.
So in other words,
they are stored separately because my uncle is a powder monkey, and so I have to know if this issue is. Mm-hmm. On a construction site, the powder is kept in one shed and locked up, and the detonators or the little wire fuses go in another section locked up on the same construction site. My question is, how about the farmer who has a tree stump to blow? What does this do to the farmer that currently goes down to the local supply office for loggers and contractors and says, I need 3 sticks of dynamite and detonators to go with it? Does this make them get a license for those 3 sticks of dynamite?
Representative Weston, Senator Hannon, and members of the committee, in order to possess any quantity of explosives, any person in the state would have to have the certificate of possession, and currently do. We have many agricultural farmer-type individuals that are currently licensed under this system. There is an allowance that, in the federal law, that if a person is going to use up their product that day, they are not required to have storage. And they haven't, there's actually a federal form that is signed by that individual that says they're going to purchase their product and they're going to use it that day and will not be storing the product. So they would not have to meet the storage or the inspection requirement if they're using it up the same day. Just there will be many folks who already use that allowance. It is also people who use shot service, which means the explosives dealer brings the product right to you. You use what they need out of the truck, and then the truck goes back to the shop.
Okay, one last quick question, and that is explosive means and chemical compound that goes on there on line 13 through line 16. The term includes but is not limited to dynamite, pellet powder, initiating explosives, detonators, safety fuses, squibs. Are squibs used in the recreational firing of powder rifles?
If there's anything left from Senator Hannah and members of the committee, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know.
But the record
I don't believe so.
That Jerry is shaking his head no, if you'd like to expand on
that. then actually what the question is, in no way is a recreational person
who involves in a gun hobby or recreational activity is going to be impacted by this legislation. It's only the person involved in the commercial or the use of dynamite and explosives.
So that you can paper trace back and find out who the person was that lost control of his possession. In other words, if I have a construction site, I put it in a little wood shed. Somebody breaks into the wood shed and takes two pieces of your backpack. You get the ID number off there, you can trace it back to me. Is that correct?
Representative Westland, Senator Hannah, members of the committee, yes.
Okay. I support the bill.
All right.
Hold on.
I need some written confirmation for Senator
Hannah.
Yes, encouragement here. I'm kind of a timid chair.
Mr. Daniels, did you get 5 seconds to say your piece?
Well, I'll take two if I have to. But I'm Dick Daniels, and I'm a resident of Washington County. I live in the Cedar Mill area, and I'm a blasting consultant. I guess that means I'm a long way from home most of the time, but I've been in the industry a good many years. You can tear by the hair of hairline, but anyhow, I also belong to the Society of Explosive Engineers and their local chapter, and I was involved in the advisory committee who formed this report that you're looking at, this legislation. And I just like to point out several things being kicked around here that we've got. Commercial explosives are explosives that are designed to detonate, and propellant-type explosives are designed to propel something, like black powder or smokeless powder.
Mr. Chair, just so I can, I'm comfortable. It's in the all someone had to tell me was it was in the definition for rockets and those things. So I'm happy, and I showed the other members of the committee who may have shared the same concerns.
Okay.
Just to save you some...
Was that a blasted scope or a blasting?
Depends on your first view. But anyhow, explosives by their nature require careful control by serious, mature individuals who have a purposeful need to possess it. The blasting explosives really has a positive reason. It's detrimental to the safety of the citizens of Oregon, and I feel very strongly about that. And it's supported by other governments on North and South. That's all. Thank you.
Ms. Daniels, we appreciate you being here. We've got some bad news for you. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3190. See you around. Thanks. Bye. We're going to open the work session on House Bill 3190. Now, hold on your seatbelts. This is going to go real fast.
Why does the section one very
well? I move adoption of the recommended amendment contained in the June 9, 1999 memo from Paul Siever. It's just a technical amendment to deal with the appropriation issue.
How about continuing education for attorneys?
That's in your favor.
Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the amendments are accepted into the bill. I will now accept a recommendation to move House Bill 3190 as amended to the full committee with a staff recommendation.
So moved. What's under hand?
So moved. As moved. Do we have any discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. I still think that on line 16, page 1 of the bill, after the phrase igniter, cord, and igniter, there should be the word legislator.
That's a pretty serious substance change. That's a substance change. We're Ways and Means Committee. We're going to take this back to Senate Judish. Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 3190 has amended, but full committee to include the expenditure limitations is moved to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation.
We need carriers with the House bill on Representative Patrick. You want to carry it
to the whole committee?
Yeah, to the whole committee.
Oh, okay.
President Krasinski, would you want us to carry it to the floor? And do we have any volunteers from the Senate side?
Senator Hannon.
Well, you may not be interested in this.
No, I think if you were alive, you'd be part of it.
Just an explosive kind of guy.
Senator Hannon will carry this on.
I have to tell you one story about Hannon.
You want us to adjourn?
No.
Okay.
It makes you a part. My grandfather was getting up in years, and he was already hearing. And the boss yelled out to him, and he said, "Now hurry," he said, "put 20 in." And granddad thought he said 20. And he stuck 20 sticks of dynamite around this tree stump. They set it off. It lit up a block and a half away and landed between two houses. That was before Sputnik. My grandfather put the first tree in orbit.
Thank you, Jerry. Most profound words.
We are now adjourned.
Seven.
Cool.